Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd on an obviously busy Monday. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Fox Sports Radio, we are on FS1. We have a chance today for stories to break left and right. Yesterday, it was like God created the earth. It was just planets moving and dust storms and craziness. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, and Joy Taylor joining me. That was a lot of fun yesterday.
It was, but I mean, it's what we expected. We expected chaos, and the NBA delivered.
Yeah, as we said, the NFL, we watch it and bet it. The NBA, we talk about it. That was maybe the best NBA day in a year, and there was no game, and it was fantastic. Well, pretend you're Kawhi Leonard this morning. Pretend you're Kawhi Leonard this morning. Raptors want you. Clippers want you, Lakers want you. Everybody else has moved. I mean, there's some other players out there, but you're the guy now. We said last week, patience is underrated. Now everybody's moved around. And Kawhi Leonard controls the league. Okay, and as dysfunctional as the Lakers have been, don't they have the best pitch? Don't they have the best pitch? Sun, history, titles, LeBron, home, help, America, number one NBA brand. I mean, what's the knock on the Lakers pitch this morning? Well, they're not going to have a lot of depth. Not sure they'll need it. Well, their front office, I don't know, good enough to find cap space, get AD and potentially Kawhi. This morning, as dysfunctional as they've been, if they sign Kawhi, it feels like Nick Saban going to Bama. A sleeping giant got the right coach. That's what it feels like to me. I mean, you go to the Lakers. Third title, third team. Finally play with two other stars. Best shoe brand for you. I don't think there's a lot of knocks against the Lakers this morning. The Clippers, if I was pitching against the Clippers, I could say, look at their history. What have they ever done? I can look at the Raptors. They're in another country. Those are real, real, those land. Like players, a lot of players have left Toronto. Good players in their prime. Clippers, what have they done? The knock on the Lakers, well, they won't have a bench. Well, I mean, their front office is good enough to get cap space, AD, and Kawhi. Can't be that terrible. And ask yourself this, if Kawhi chooses the Lakers, it is now the only team of the three where he can play with multiple stars. Doesn't he want that? Didn't he take 22 games off for load management? Wasn't the reason I got to get ready for the playoffs? That seeding's not that important. I got to get ready and be healthy for the playoffs. Well, you can certainly do that with LeBron and AD. You can take 15 games off. It's not like fans are going to complain. They only get LeBron, Kuzma, and AD. So the Lakers, to me, this morning should be front runners. And for anybody denying Kawhi's power in this league, with one move to the Lakers, he can wipe out league parity, crush the Clippers' soul, and end the Raptors' title window. And here's another thing that patience did for him. He makes Kevin Durant in Brooklyn much less relevant. Think about all those moves yesterday. Jimmy Butler to Miami, Kemba to the Celtics, and D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors, and Al Horford goes to the Sixers. And I liked a lot of these moves. I liked a lot of the moves. They had a lot of good front offices. But ask yourself this. Kawhi goes to the Lakers, or we're not talking about the Nets next year. Patience is underrated. Wait for the dust to settle. He can wreck or marginalize or shrink all the other moves. Everybody in the league just got their car detailed, and Kawhi's the sprinkler about to go on right next to it. There's three options for him. I would contend this morning, and I'm not saying this because I'm in L.A., it's the best pitch. Multiple stars, sun, home, help, shoes, brand. The knock on it is, well, the front office of the Lakers is apparently good enough to get AD and now Kawhi. Now let me shift to another team and another coast, Brooklyn. Don't confuse interesting with great. I think Brooklyn will be interesting. I never think Kyrie, Durant, Spencer Dinwiddie, and DeAndre Jordan will be great. This is an organization that nobody's ever paid attention to. So they have a new outfit and a parrot on their shoulder and a cool hat, and they'll walk into the party now because the Knicks whiffed, and they're going to be fascinating. They're never going to be great. Kyrie Irving has missed 66 games in 3 years and has never proven to be easy to coach or a great leader without LeBron. KD has missed 48 games in 3 years. He won't play, and most believe he's 80-85% off the Achilles injury. And DeAndre Jordan, don't really get it. I think they acquired him for fouls because they have a young big named Jared Allen. They got him to foul Joel Embiid. I don't know. Interesting? Absolutely. Better than last year? Oh, yes. I mean, Michigan football with Jim Harbaugh, it has been absolutely interesting. But it hasn't won any championships. Brooklyn is built to get attention. Their two stars, Kyrie and Kevin Durant, both regularly spar with the media. They're going to get attention. And I think they're going to like it because nobody has ever paid attention to him. But now you're going to get a year of Kyrie by himself, and then he's just supposed to hand it over to Kevin Durant. Now, I think he's going to get used to getting talked about and getting to shoot when he wants and getting the points he wants, and no mature Al Horford next to him, no Brad Stevens. It's Kenny Atkinson. Okay. I mean, all right. I've seen Kyrie Irving lead teams without LeBron. I saw him do it in Cleveland pre-LeBron. I saw him do it in Boston. I saw him do it with a better coach. I think we're confusing interesting with great. 66 games missed in 3 years. Harder to coach. Kevin Durant, 48 missed games. Warriors won a lot of games without him. I can make an argument if just Klay Thompson would have been healthy, the Warriors would have gone to Game 7 of the Finals without him. They swept Portland without him. They beat Houston on the road without him. I like Kevin Durant. But it's not like the Warriors dried up when he didn't play. They dried up because Klay Thompson got hurt, and KD was out, and Kevon Looney got hurt, and Boogie was 70%, and Iggy was 60%. I don't buy this Brooklyn thing. And I think when Kawhi signs with the Lakers, if that happens, it really shrinks it, even in terms of interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Very interesting stuff. Generally, there's a rule that works in every business in America that 8 to 10% of the people make 90% of the money. And we see it right now in American sports, where it's Alabama, Clemson in college football, the Patriots in the NFL, UConn women's basketball, Apple, Apple up in Silicon Valley, Facebook and Google own the internet. Very few people, usually almost always really smart, run leagues. Just the way it works. Same college basketball teams generally year after year are number one. And when I look at the Golden State Warriors, everybody's freaking out about Kevin Durant. But is Bob Myers still the GM? Is Steve Kerr still the coach? Is Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, the core five, still there? Yes. And by the way, Klay Thompson will be back by late February or early March. Plus, they have a new arena with new energy, and they just got an all-star guard. Be very careful about selling the Golden State Warriors. This morning, I believe yesterday, there's two ways to look at getting D'Angelo Russell. This is the least realistic way, because I think they got him to move him. I think they got him to be viable to the All-Star break and then trade him for a big. And there's a lot of teams like Philadelphia who don't have enough shooters but have a surplus of bigs. Maybe they make a deal. But let's say D'Angelo Russell stays for a year and then they move him, right? So Klay Thompson comes back in late February, has 7 to 8 weeks to get ready for the playoffs. I have Steph, D'Angelo Russell, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Jordan Bell, Sean Livingston, Alphonso McKinney. They drafted three guys. If one of them hits off the bench, I've got a great system, a great head coach, and a team that was 35-8 without Kevin Durant. I'll take my chances. Yeah, I think Utah and Denver and San Antonio are interesting. I think Houston and the Clippers are fun. This team, if Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt, probably gets to a Game 7 of the NBA Finals without Kevin Durant. Swept Portland without Kevin Durant. The sky is not falling. Now, the downside is they're going to lose Kayvon Looney, a really good young player. Not great. Not a star. Fits sort of their idea of a big. He's a mobile kind of big guy. Yes, that hurts. But they did get an all-star. And now have the most dangerous backcourt again in the NBA. Steph and D'Angelo Russell, they'll add Klay Thompson. Listen, the West is full of a bunch of good. Unless Kawhi signs with the Lakers, there's no great here. I'm going to have the most experienced team, arguably the best coach team, the best shooting team, the most experienced team, the most energized team with a new arena, with something to prove minus KD. They're fine. You start looking around sports. Have you ever noticed the same teams are dominating? Whether it's the United States women's national team, the New England Patriots, Bama and Clemson, the same people dominate sports. Why? Because smart wins. Golden State's core five guys. They still got them all. Draymond, Klay, Steph, Bob, and Steve. I'm not counting the owner. Not as hot on him. But he's certainly capable. So the D'Angelo Russell thing, I don't think it's a long-term fit. But even if they did it for a year, you'll be able to trade D'Angelo Russell. He is a scoring guard. I know the Warriors said to themselves, okay, we lost KD. Let's just get another asset. Doesn't mean we're going to keep every asset. Not every stock you buy, you hold forever. Not all of them are IBM or Microsoft. A lot of times you flip stuff. You buy a house, you flip it. You buy a stock, you flip it. You get an asset, you flip it. D'Angelo Russell's a real asset in this league. The Lakers were interested. The Warriors signed him. The Nets liked him. The T-Wolves wanted him. They just didn't want to be empty-handed. So if you're all burying the Warriors this morning, I trust smart. I still think they're in a great spot, even in the improved and loaded West.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So here we go on Monday. Colin is right. Colin is wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Been saying this forever. All you guys out there that won't recruit like John Wall and Derrick Rose, the NBA is about brain power, and Steph Curry's as smart as they get. Did you hear this? Steph Curry was on a plane in Shanghai doing business in China, got in a plane to fly to New York, just to thank Kevin Durant for coming to the Warriors. That's the only reason he did it. Didn't turn the jet around when he found out Kevin Durant wasn't signing with the Warriors, and nobody thought he really was. He flew from Shanghai direct to New York to say thank you for coming to the Warriors. Half this league, they're just too cool to recruit. This is why the Warriors are going to be fine. Steph Curry was smart enough to embrace Kevin Durant and smart enough to thank him. And you know what that does? That story gets out, like guys like me talking about it, and it makes other stars feel very comfortable if they have a decision to make. Dude, that's a good dude. That is a good dude. I love Steph Curry. I love what he symbolizes. Class all the way around.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've never seen an NBA franchise in 1 month completely change their identity. Tip of the cap to the Pelicans. I always felt they were owned by an NFL owner. It's a football city. Nobody wants to play there. Their fan base is ambivalent about them. Zion, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, 300 draft picks, Josh Hart. I mean, you wake up this morning and you're like, they may not make the playoffs in the West. They would in the East. What a fascinating organization. How was David Griffin unemployed for 2 years? I mean, you talk about frenetic. I mean, again, in the West, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be really, really interesting for a year. But You got to give this team credit. I've never seen... This is like a politician who gets elected to office and passes 9 bills in 2 weeks. Sometimes you just got to give people credit for activity. And in a football city, they are drawing a ton of attention. This has to be massively driving season tickets.
Where Colin was right.
All you Philadelphia 76er fans, we're going to keep all our guys. And I'm like, it's called a salary cap. If you can't keep all your guys. Jimmy Butler, your most talented player, arguably, gone. J.J. Redick, best shooter, gone. By the way, Marco Bellinelli is gone. Dario Saric is gone. You gave Saric up to get Jimmy Butler. Plus Robert Covington, a long guy who can shoot. You don't have any shooters, not many left, but you got great size. And again, you gave $180 million to Tobias Harris. Yeesh. That's a lot of money for Tobias Harris. I think you're a good team. You may be a West Eastern Conference Finals team. I'm not sure if you can shoot your way there. But this idea in Philadelphia that you were just going to keep everything and everything was going to work out, it's not the way NBA free agency works. Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be the third most talked about guy. J.J. Redick's career, he's got a couple years left. He's going to make every penny he can make. I got to give J.J. Redick and his agent credit. You know, he's made more money every year of his career. That guy has managed his business incredibly well.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Celtics saved their franchise. I said last week, Al Horford left, Kyrie Irving left. I'm like, listen, man, there's an anti-Boston. Anthony Davis was not interested. But Kemba Walker's a nice save. I don't think they're a championship team because they lost Terry Rozier. But I do think it's a nice save. And I do think they're kind of small. They don't have as much depth. But they've got good wings, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum. They have very good guards, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. They'll make the playoffs. I don't think they're a championship team. But I would say this, it was a nice save. Because they lost a lot of talent, walked right out the door. I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I was right about the Knicks. I've sat here for 20 years in this chair, not always at this place, but in this chair, and heard how the Knicks are going to sign everybody, and they never do because of James Dolan. I think agents struggle sending their prize possessions, their prize clients, to James Dolan. I think he's got a bad rep among players. People said, oh, KD's buddies are in the front office. No, KD's buddies are on the floor. Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. KD's executive buddies are not as cool as KD's player buddies, and he chose players over executives. They'll have a good summer league team, but I thought Kevin Durant would have really hurt his career going to the Knicks. I would have stayed in Golden State, but the Nets, listen, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan, that's a playoff team in a year. I don't know if it is this year, frankly, probably is. But the Knicks, once again, you keep selling me this NBA media, and I keep not buying any of it on the Knicks.
Where Colin was wrong.
I think the Houston Rockets window, which I thought was going to last, I thought Chris Paul and James Harden for 5 years were going to be fantastic. It feels like it's closing fast. Portland's better. Utah's better. Pelicans better. Lakers better. Clippers could add Kawhi and be better. Mike D'Antoni I like, don't trust him in the playoffs. Daryl Morey I like, but there's too much drama, too much noise, and too many leaks. I didn't buy into the Jimmy Butler stuff. There's still no finals appearances. Tillman Fertitta is a great owner, but he's impatient. I watched him in Vegas for years. He likes to move. He likes to get things done. He sold the UFC the minute he thought it peaked. Everybody in the West feels a little better. Houston doesn't, and that Chris Paul tension with Harden, with his knee, with Fertitta and Mike D'Antoni, I don't feel like they're in the upper half of the West this morning. I really don't.
Where Colin was right.
World Cup going on, Red Sox, Yankees in London, and what stole all the attention? The NBA free agency. Been on this my entire career. Mobility is a great thing for sports. I mean, baseball signs their stars to 10-year contracts. It locks them up too long. The NBA, you got guys going here for 2 years and here for 3 years. It was unbelievable how, if you go look at the metrics this weekend for the NBA, they owned the global sports sphere. The dirty little secret of the NBA, which they would tell you behind private doors, is we know people watch the NFL and not us. but they talk about us. And that's a real business. That's the Kardashian business. Nobody watches the Kardashian show. I see the ratings. Everybody talks about the Kardashians. With social media, that's quantifiable. That's a real business. And yeah, outside of the finals and conference finals, the ratings aren't that great. Sometimes March Madness beats it with a far inferior product. But if you don't think social media being talked about, young millennials matters, then you're in the weeds. NBA continues to be the second most popular sport if you consider being discussed, and I do.
Where Colin was wrong.
Been hammering on the Lakers front office for a year. I probably should give them a little credit, not only for landing AD, but they cleared cap space. And according to Chris Broussard, they lead on Kawhi Leonard. So now that we'll have the worst bench in NBA league history, but I can't just sit up here with an anvil and hammer people. And when they keep delivering, maybe it's Rich Paul, maybe it's LeBron, maybe it's Magic. I don't know who to give the credit to, but if they lead on Kawhi Leonard and they land Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be the overwhelming NBA favorite. Now, part of it is it's just the power of brand, but if you'd ask everybody in the NBA who's the star you want that was on the market once Kevin Durant got hurt, it's Kawhi Leonard, and it looks like they lead for him. So credit where credit is due.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado didn't make the all-star game in baseball. By the way, the Dodgers and Astros have passed on all these contracts, have a combined 10 all-stars and may have more. Bryce Harper's never struck out more. The Phillies are scrapping. They're around 500, so they're massively underachieving for their payroll. I don't think Bryce Harper, he's hitting about 250, he's having a great year. I think when you sign, not all players, but when you sign power hitters to massive 10-year contracts, psychologically, it is daunting for a Manny Machado or a Bryce Harper who feels like, I got to crank out 40 jacks or I'm massively underachieving. I don't think a long contract for a good pitcher hurts them or a good closer or a guy like Trout who's about legs and fielding as much as hitting. But the Machado-Bryce Harper deals, not all-stars. To this point, both underachieving.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Okay, we have a breaking deal. Enes Kanter, who's a very reliable, you can get 17 points a night out of Enes Kanter, Portland did, has joined the Celtics. So Joy and I had talked about where's their size. They just delivered.
It's a great move for them.
It's a great move for Boston. So Boston lost Kyrie, highly skilled point guard, a little disruptive in the locker room, they say. Al Horford, super mature. I've always loved Al. And they get Enes Kanter, and they get Kemba Walker. Now, collectively, now I've got Kemba Walker starts. I got Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart off the bench. I got Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Enes Kanter. It's a playoff team. I don't know if they're – I mean, it's a good team. It's a good team.
I'm surprised you don't love this team more than you loved them last year.
I do.
You picked them to win the championship last
year. I just got burned on them last year. Yeah. No, I like them. I just think the league's now – it's got so many good players.
Yeah.
There's just so many good teams
great
now.
Great bounce back for Boston.
Oh,
though.
Good bounce back for Boston.
No pun intended.
So, Enes Kanter replaces Al Horford.
Yeah.
And by the way, what do you do with Dallas? I love what Dallas has done, but can they get into the playoffs? I'll tell you, we got about 16, 17 teams today. I love what Utah did. I think the Pelicans are fascinating. I don't think they're good enough to make the playoffs, but I think it's fascinating. What do I know? I guess got to watch this stuff work out. I don't know. If you're in your 20s, you know Charles Barkley is the wildly entertaining television guy for TNT. If you're as old as me, you know him as one of the greatest basketball players of all time who could score down low, he could shoot a three, he could score in transition, who just happened to transition into a great TV analyst, and Charles Barkley is joining us. So Celtics got Enes Kanter. Good Lord. You know, let me just ask you front and center about Kawhi Leonard. If you were Kawhi Leonard, Charles, what team would you sign with?
I stay with the Toronto Raptors because I think what he accomplished there deserves a lot of credit to lead that team to the championship. Now, see, the problem he's got now, if you go to the Lakers, I mean, that'll make them a super team.
Right.
But if you go to the Clippers, I don't think they'll be great. And somebody said to me, well, he'd have just the type of talent he had in Toronto. I said, it's comparable, but he can't miss 22 games in the Western Conference.
Right.
because they'll miss the playoffs.
Right.
You know, you can see that one thing that people aren't incorporating is, first of all, I think he's probably the best player in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But he only had to beat Milwaukee and Philly. In the West, it won't be like that. I'm watching you now. I think yesterday, everybody talked about Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was great getting Kyrie and Kevin and DeAndre. But the Philadelphia 76ers, now I just saw you talk about Enes Kanter going to Boston. Boston's back in the picture now.
Yeah.
And in the West, Utah, Dallas had the best free agent weekend.
I agree, yeah. Jeez.
So what's going to be interesting, I mean, Kawhi, man, if he go to the Lakers, that would make them a super team. But if he go to the Clippers, obviously he's the best player, but they won't be a contender, in my opinion.
Yeah,
They'll be a good, solid team.
Yeah, no. You know, would you think less of Kawhi going to the Lakers, though? How do you reconcile it? You respect him, but what would you think of him?
Well, I'd be very disappointed, number one. But he's different than the KD situation because KD hadn't won anything. This guy's won twice.
Yeah.
The thing I love about Kawhi, to me, he's the perfect superstar. He never complains. He just like, y'all, come on, let's win the championship. If I owned a team or was a fan, I said, we got the perfect superstar. I hope he stays in Toronto because I think Masai Ujiri proved if some of these general managers would actually do their job and draft good players and make timely trades, they wouldn't have to sit around and clear out his cap space and hope and pray certain guys come to them. You know, that's the thing that I hope none of these teams, you know, I mean, obviously Brooklyn did it, but I don't want any of these teams that's been sucking up the joint. Now they're going to try to poach other people's superstars. How about you actually do your job and draft good players, coach them up, and win? Before Kevin went to Golden State, that's what the Warriors did. That's what Masai Ujiri did up in Toronto this year. They didn't go around, like, let's wait to some great players, a super free agent, and poach him. Let's actually do our job. And that's why I hope all these teams that have been clearing this cap space don't get anybody. That would be my preference.
Well, you know, you make a good point because the Celtics did their job. They drafted Paul Pierce and Rondo and Perk. And the Bulls drafted Pippen and MJ. And the Heat drafted D-Wade and Udonis Haslam. And Golden State drafted Steph and Clay. So to your point, they had homegrown guys. The Lakers only kept Kuzma. I want to ask you this, though. I saw a story today by Marcus Thompson, who I absolutely love at The Athletic. He said Kevin Durant wanted to play with friends. Did that matter to you? Did you give a rip about if they were buddies on your team? Because to Kevin Durant, it clearly matters.
You know, it's interesting. I don't ever listen. Obviously, I don't want to be the old guy get off my lawn because I don't think that's really. Oh man, I'm reading your little. Somebody took Whiteside.
Yeah, Portland's got Hassan Whiteside for a year. Yes.
Well, let me tell you something. I actually like that trade for Miami because I like Myles Leonard, and I think they got the kid from St. John's in that deal. Now you got Jimmy Butler. It's been a good day. It's been a good day for the Miami Heat to get somebody to take Whiteside off their hands. listen, because I tell you, Myles Leonard to me has got a chance of being a star in this league, and I do. I like the kid from St. John's. I can't think of his name right now.
Mo Harkless.
I say Mo Harkless is a good player. Now you put Jimmy Butler. Miami's trending in the right direction. Now, like I say, depending on what Kawhi does. We're going to have some type of competitive balance, hopefully. But to get back to your point earlier, Colin, none of these guys of my generation played AAU. We were not friends with each other. We just wanted to kill each other. You know, this obviously is a different thing now. These guys grew up together. They're all great friends. You know, so it's a different generation. I understand that. But I just want to see the best against the best. I don't like super teams because I think we're wasting our time during the regular season. And just like, okay, we know the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship. And that's what it's been realistically the last 3 years. And this year they got the bad break with KD getting hurt. And I was really happy for Toronto because of the way they conduct their business.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. I love the NBA. I've loved it forever because I think it's a personality-driven league, and I think there are a handful of guys, Magic, Bird, yourself, Jordan, who really elevated it for about a 20-year period where it was big personalities and a lot of fun. Now, I still love the league, but it's different. I mean, I don't want, you know, I'm in my 50s, Charles, so I don't want to sound like a cranky old guy either. I do wonder, Kevin Durant's a fascinating guy to me. And I was just saying this to Joy. So he comes into the league. He's the number two pick behind Greg Oden. And then he goes to Oklahoma City, and the organization likes Westbrook more than him. And then he's always number two to LeBron. And then he goes to Golden State, and he's number two to Steph. And now he's on a Brooklyn team that'll be number two to the Lakers for the super team. Do you kind of put your arms around KD and get that he's lived this life where he's always kind of been the number two guy, and maybe it's just like he wants to be the guy?
You know what I think it is? First of all, he's a great, great basketball player, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man. But you can tell he's not – he's one of those guys who worry about what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
I've been in this thing a long time. I tell people – the one thing you can't worry about when you're rich, famous, good-looking, or great at a sport is other people. Because, like, all the ugly girls hate the homecoming queen. They have no reason, but they just hate her. That's built in. That's insecurity on their part. It's jealousy. But you have to be smart enough to overcome that. Hey, poor people don't like rich people. We can't all be poor. I want to be successful. And good-looking people, ugly people hate them. You can't worry about what these other fools think about you. And Kevin, as great as he is as a man and a player, I mean, you know, I don't do any social media because I think most of those people, they live in their mom's dad house. They sit around in their pajamas, and they just write because they don't have a life. They write comment on other people's lives.
Yeah.
That's what I think about most people on social media. Because
yeah.
You have to ask yourself, why are you coming on everything? Why do you have to be mean-spirited about whatever's going on in the world? And because if you're successful, you know what you're doing? Working. You're actually out here working. You don't have time to sit around and let me get on the computer and see what's happening in the world today and let me say something negative about it. But I think Kevin, I think he got thin skin. And I don't understand why. He's one of the greatest, greatest basketball players ever. He's a nice man, but he has that gene where he sits around like every little comment.
Yeah.
He thinks about it.
No, he does. He does. You know, there's always a great player in the NBA who drives me crazy. And I've been watching this league forever. Steph Marbury used to drive me nuts. He'd finish with 8 assists, but he really didn't have 8 assists. He just got his own shot. The current player who drives me nuts is Kyrie Irving. So he's going to have to run this Brooklyn show for a year, and then Kevin Durant comes in. How do I put my arms around Kyrie? He bailed on LeBron. He bailed on Brad Stevens. When you were in the NBA, Charles, there were a lot of talented guys, but they didn't play winning basketball. What do you make of Kyrie, the player and the guy, the flat earth, and the I just don't get him. What do you make of him?
Well, Colin, everybody's not built to be a superstar. So what I mean by that is you don't have to be the greatest. Everybody's not going to win the championship. But you have to accept when you don't win, they're going to be beating your head in. That's just the way it is. You know, nobody ever said, hey, Mark West didn't win the championship. Dan Marley didn't win the championship. Two of my favorite teammates ever. Thanks to Charles Barkley didn't win the championship. I have to live with that. I have to take that criticism. I'm not going to go crazy over it, but that's just the way this thing works. And Kyrie, he was fortunate to play with the great LeBron James. He won a championship. That wasn't good enough because he felt like I wouldn't get enough credit. Then he says, oh, let me be my own man. Then he realized, like, damn, being your own man ain't as fun and easy as it sounds. You know, because I'm telling you something. When you play, when you have to play and lead every night, be the man every night,
yeah,
it's a lot of physical and mental stress. And I tell you what, next year is going to be the most important year of his career. Because this will be strike three. You know, he didn't want to be in Cleveland. He had a really good team in Boston, didn't want to lead. Now he got the whole team for a year. And they just can't take the year off and wait for KD. They can't just like, okay, KD's coming next year. That ain't going to work in New York.
Right.
Okay, so now you bring it in Kyrie, and if he don't lead this team, this would be the third strike. And then people already are questioning, there's going to be some serious question, and it's going to be even more when KD comes back.
You know, do you finally? I don't want to take your day up. You probably got a golf game here.
I already hit balls this morning. I'm good. I don't want to peak too soon. I got to get ready for Tahoe.
So we both like New York. Good bars, good fun, good media. They can't sign anybody. You think it's James Dolan, Charles? It's not. Everybody loves New York. They can't sign any of these guys ever. What is it?
Well, it's number one, it's a bad business model. If you're in the, let me tell you something, Colin. If you're in the lottery every year, you should have good young players. Your team should be getting better. You shouldn't have to let's get cap space every thing. This is like the third or fourth time in the last 10 years. They're like, let's get all the cap space we can get. Like, wait, if you're that bad, you're in the lottery every year. Your team should be like, oh, that team is really good. They just need one more piece. Let's sign a free agent to put us over the hump. They're not doing that. And that's why nobody want to go there. The same thing with the Lakers. Think about the Lakers. The Lakers been in a lottery 6 straight years. And it wasn't working because, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Same thing with the Knicks. Well, who's their best young player? Oh, he's in Dallas. You know, he's in Dallas. And then right now you can say, well, who's the next best player on the Knicks? You don't know that. I would not go on a limb right now and say who's the best. Randall might be the best player on the Knicks now. They just signed him yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. I think he is.
So if you got good young players, I think a free agent might want to come there. But if you ain't got no good young players, I think it's fair to say the jury is still out on all the Knicks' young talent. I mean, the best player they had was Porzingis, and he's in Dallas. And also, shout out to Mark Cuban. Great job.
Yes.
Great job. And they did some under the radar last night. Went out and got Drazen Petrovic. The point guard from Miami.
Yeah.
Nice pickup. Real nice pickup.
Did that trade, Greg, did it go through? It did not go through, but they picked up Seth Curry today. So it's Darko, Porzingis, Seth Curry, and they just added somebody else in the last 2 hours. They're actually a very good basketball team. I just don't know if they can make the playoffs. Oh, I got to ask you this, too. I forgot this. I wrote this down. Everybody compares you and Zion. Now, he's not the ball handler you were, and he's not the shooter you were. I've said I don't think it's fair to compare him to you. I do think he's got a little Blake Griffin in him. I think he's a little better ball handler than Karl Malone. When you hear Zion's the next Barkley, what do you think of him as a player?
Well, I think he got a lot more physical talent than I do. He's a lot more explosive. So I think I got to give him that. I think, obviously, at that time, I was a much better basketball player. But like I say, he's a lot more explosive. I think his ceiling is, he got a great ceiling. I think David Griffin's going to put great people around him. I love the J.J. Redick signing. But he's got to get better as a basketball player because, you know, he's not going to be bigger and stronger than guys in the NBA. Like I say, I love the kid. I think he's a great kid, too. I love everything he's done leading into the draft, during the draft, after getting drafted. Got a great personality. But he's got to get better as a basketball player.
Yeah.
Because we won't be playing against North Carolina State, Clemson. He's going to be like, because, you know, he's going to be playing against Anthony Davis, Blake, Drummond. I mean, we got some big old boys waiting on him in the NBA. So he got to get much better as a basketball player. He's got tremendous talent. He is really explosive, but he's going to have to learn to play basketball because he's not going to be bigger. I hear all these guys on TV talking about he's big and strong. I'm like, yeah, we call that the NBA. Everybody's got some big, strong guys. So he's going to have to get better as a basketball player. But, man, he seems like a great kid, and I hope he's better than me, to be honest with you, because it's great for the NBA.
Yeah. Boy, that's sure nice of you to take 16, 17 minutes today. Your busy day. You hit golf balls this morning. By the way, I've watched your golf swing. It's a little better today than years ago. You got rid of that hitch in it.
Well, I'm getting better. I got a new teacher named Stan Utley. He's one of the best teachers in the world. No disrespect to Bruce, Butch Harmon or Hank Haney. They're two of the best who ever did it. But I found a new teacher in Stan Utley. And I'm looking forward to Tahoe, man. I'm getting better. I'm playing better than I ever played in the last 10, 15 years. I'm still hitching sometimes, but I'm getting better, man.
Now, and let's be careful with the tables, Charles. There's a reason they build those casinos. You don't win. You got to stay away. Have a cocktail. Say hi to people. How about just 15 minutes max at a table? That's enough.
Come on, Colin. Don't be just talking crazy. We were having a great conversation. Now you're talking crazy. Listen, Colin, I can't die with all this money. Can you imagine when I'm in hell, all my family fighting over all this money? It'd be a nightmare looking up.
I love Charles Barkley. All right, my man, you have a good day.
Okay, man, hey, thank you, guys. Y'all keep up the great work. Y'all take care of yourself.